playing a game that I can never win. Time is running out, I know I gotta make a choice. So many whispers in my ear that I can't hear my voice. Tell me, will it end the situation that I'm in?
What's up, everybody, and welcome to Remember the Loot, episode 2.0, the show reminding you, life's a garden, dig it. I'm one of your hosts, Frosty, and alongside me is the man who will play your bad game so you don't have to, Resident Daryl.
Is this queer? Huh? Is this queer? Enlarged and in charge and looking for chickies. What's up?
All right, Daryl, it's going to get a little weird. Two dragons.
Ooh.
Just me and Daryl in here today, holding down the fort. We're missing two of our fellow Remember the Loop podcasters, our comrades. T-Bird's out. He's got radiation poison
From the fallout of
2015. And Josh Walking Idea is actually celebrating his 1 year anniversary. So
Congrats.
Happy anniversary.
Suck at it.
It's cool because he's getting a PlayStation 4, so we forgive him.
There you go. Happy anniversary. If you're listening to us today, check out provengamer.com. Go watch their videos. Check out the reviews. Check out the previews. Hit us up at rememberTheLoot@provengamer.com. Find us on Twitter. Do all that fun stuff. We're going to be adding a lot of content to the website. We want to give a shout out to the guys at Proven Gamer and their flagship podcast, Trophy Horse, for putting us over real good in the last episode. I loved the also subtle hints that there was a new podcast called Remember the Loot coming up. Tricky Mick did a great job of composing himself and really just letting them slide. That's a little bit of sarcasm, but it was a really good episode. Great stuff. And with that being said, this week's toast is going to be split down the middle. Part of it's going to go out to our boy, The Walking Idea, for his anniversary, which we already said congratulations. And the other part is going to go to Tricky Mick and the Proven Gamer crew for participating in Extra Life. He met his goals, raised a decent amount of money. In total, Extra Life raised a ton of money, and it's all for the kids. So we are going to raise our ice-cold cans of Monster Energy Zero Ultra and say thank you for all that you do.
That's good stuff.
So now that we got that out of the way, Frost, I'm gonna let you open up. What you been playing this week?
Man, I gotta tell you, man, I'm still on that Witcher kick. I've been putting in a lot of hours of Witcher, and you know, we got a question a while back. You know, how do you find time to play these big games and still do what you do? It really takes a lot of patience, a lot of endurance. Just a little bit at a time, and it's a great game. You know, I really thought that I would start to get into it and start getting bored and just be ready to finish it and get it over with. But I gotta tell you, man, like the more I play it, the more interesting the story becomes, the more gorgeous the scenery gets, your interaction with each character and like the relationship you build with all of them, you know, grows depending on the choices you make. Combat is getting better, you know, because I'm starting to understand like the alchemy system and the combat and, you know, what items to take with me on what quest and you know, studying each monster's fighting style and abilities and knowing, you know, what to use as far as like what weakens them and stuff. And I gotta tell you, man, it's awesome. Really looking forward to finishing that game. And I was actually looking on the marketplace last night and found some DLC I'm really excited about.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, I've known it's been out, but it's only $10. I don't know if you knew that. $10 for a DLC for like, what, 30, 40 extra hours of gameplay.
I heard it was somewhere between 20 to 30 hours.
Yeah, like, that's fantastic. There's another DLC coming out for it. There's actually free DLC you can download.
Oh, yeah.
I downloaded a free theme, which is really cool because it like changes your icons and all, and you got like the Witcher, this like real subtle Witcher music playing in the background. It's awesome.
I downloaded two of them. I've got the there's one that's like a static theme, and it's just Geralt. Jerihod or Jihad,
Gary.
Whatever his name
you
is.
Call Gary. Gary.
And then as you go to the top where your little crossbar is, or what looks kind of like a crossbar, it turns into like a chick, I believe.
Siri, yeah.
Siri, like from the phones.
Yeah.
And then I got another one where it's got some mermaid whale-ish looking weird chick. She's like a mermaid up top. And
oh,
like,
the monster theme?
Yeah. And then you flip to the top and it's got that weird chick with the gross boobs that you beat up the other night on YouTube. Check that out. Remember the Loot at YouTube if you want to watch Frosty beat up some weird monster with gross boobs.
Yeah, I made her my lady in waiting.
But they said I think that game released with like 16 pieces of free DLC like every week after the game's release.
Free finishing moves, like combat finishing moves, free armor.
Like horse armor?
I think so.
Oh.
Well, I know you have this armor. It's like the special armor from one of the areas in the game called Skellige. It looks really cool. Haven't downloaded it yet. But you have free armor that you can download for like the mages in the game, the women, your lovers, I guess. like you have armor you can buy. Triss, you have, well, download. I say buy, but it's free. They have armor you can download for her. You have armor you can get for Yennefer. So yeah, it's really cool. You know, it's refreshing to see that because you know we're in an age now where, you know, a game's released and a week later they want you to pay $20 for DLC or, you know, day one DLC rather, microtransactions, and so it's really cool to see a game Witcher size come out with DLC that's not only cheap, but then you also got more on top of it that's free. That's like, hey, we give you this 200-hour game. Here's just some more stuff just because we appreciate what you do. So,
very good. Well, last week I made an announcement. I made a promise. I made a commitment to platinuming Duck Dynasty. And I wanted to go ahead and say right off the bat, that did not happen.
I stood down.
As a matter of fact, I said the only way that I wouldn't platinum Duck Dynasty is if I got wrapped up into Halo and maybe even Call of Duty, which that happened. But that happened earlier than I expected. And so, Tricky, Donnie, I know you're listening. I'm no trophy chump, but I did stand down from this one. So the game starts off, Duck Dynasty starts off. It's pretty rad. It's not terrible. It's not as bad as it was made out to be. And like so as far as like the duck hunt stuff goes, like it was good. I enjoyed it. Quick draw, shoot some ducks, get some trophies. I liked it. The fishing wasn't bad. I enjoyed sitting back and fishing and, you know, just doing what...
Not fishing.
Not... not. Anyways, it wasn't bad. Where the game took a sharp left turn and left me behind was the boat races. I knocked out all the objectives, knocked out all the stuff on its somewhat open-ish world. It's got like an open, it's got a map. You pick, from time to time, you can just ride around the swamp and just be, you know, one of the Duck Dynasty guys. Or you can just pick an objective and go to it. And I knocked out everything but the boat races, and the boat races were awful. I did a few of them, and as they got more difficult, like, beating them wasn't so much the problem as the trophies associated with it. And the one that just said, I threw it down, was the don't bump into anybody. Like, and there's another one. There's two trophies that were like, I was like, hey, you know what? I don't want the trophies that bad. It was don't bump into anyone because they constantly bump into you. And they're on set routes. Like, their routes don't really change.
Right.
But to get in front of them, they're going to constantly bump into you. And I just was not getting the hang of driving that boat well enough to muster through it. I just couldn't cut the mustard. And then the other one was never fall into last place. Well, unless there's a boat race that I didn't make it to where you don't start in last place, you always start in last place. Even the boat race mini games on a different menu. So, Duck Dynasty, I had fun with you for the first 5 hours. After that, it just took a sharp turn into Suck Clanville, and I'm done.
Yes, yeah.
So,
speaking of platinum, I beat Until Dawn.
Oh, yes.
You were talking about it being the killer app for PlayStation 4.
Hashtag killer app.
I have to disagree.
Hashtag game of the year.
Bloodborne.
Negative.
Bloodborne's killer app. What the heck was that?
My computer talks to us.
Okay. Nah, Until Dawn's great. I'm not a big fan of QT. But I think the QT was very, very well placed in the game. I feel like, you know, most games, like, if you don't push this button in time, you just die, you know. And granted, that can happen in the game. It's in certain parts, you know, but I feel like, you know, there was a few times where I might have failed to do a QTE and I would just end up, like, tripping and just keep going, you know. So that wasn't too bad.
In the other games that are similar to that, being Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls, if you miss a QTE, that character can die and die for good. I was very surprised playing Until Dawn that, like, if you miss some of the QTE. Now, granted, it might change, like, your path and or change the way the outcome of the game. But, like, in Heavy Rain, there was a couple times where I just, like, got immersed into the game and forgot for a second that I was playing. And then the quick time event would pop up, and I go, oh, crap, and I miss it. And then that character died. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool, I'll just get another play at it. Nope, they're gone. So my entire playthrough of Heavy Rain was the worst possible outcome because everyone died. Sorry, but it was... So.
Well, I was looking at online guides where, you know, there's a trophy for having everybody die, and everyone always refers to it as the worst ending. Well, you get a trophy out of it, so it's kind of the best ending. And not to mention, some of the characters that you really want to die actually die, and you're like, hey, that's not so bad. I know that sounds morbid, but you know, one of the characters in the very beginning of the game, Jessica.
Yes.
Me and my wife actually played the game together. She watched the whole time, but she was getting into it, you know. She couldn't stand that character. She's like, blonde bimbo, horror movie, you gotta die. Or in this case, horror game. She wanted her to die so bad. I was like, babe.
Emily was the one I wanted to die. I wanted that trick dead as soon as she opened her mouth.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, you know, I got to the part where, spoiler alert, by the way, if you haven't played the game, Jessica falls down the mineshaft.
Yes.
And then she don't show up again until like episode 9. I'm like, hey, this chick's still alive. Crazy. So, and at this point, like, all the chicks, all the women are alive. And I want them to stay alive because I want the trophy for all the women to be alive.
Yeah.
So, I ended up saving Jessica. I made all the right decisions. She lived. I got the trophy for rescuing her. I was like, cool. Get to the very end of the game, and the very last sequence, one of the other female characters dies that I didn't want to die. I was so mad. I was like, no, my trophy. But so I'm currently playing back through the game to try to get the trophy. It's a really good game. It's really slow paced, which is probably why a lot of critics gave it lower ratings than it really deserved, because I mean, the game was gorgeous.
Yes.
The graphics were just phenomenal.
If you like horror movies or slashers, even a little bit, that game was so cool for that.
It's
anyone with interest in the. I feel like I was watching a movie.
Yeah,
there was the part with the bear trap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I literally, again, the same way with Heavy Rain, I forgot that I was playing for a minute and I was watching it. I had my headphones, my Sony Gold wireless.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Sony for making awesome headphones. And they have an Until Dawn setting in there, so you can download how the game should sound based on what the creators believe.
Mm-hmm.
They made like a, you know, like a app.
Yeah.
So you can adjust. You know, anyways, so a lot of the AAA titles, a lot of the first party titles, or the exclusives, they get their own little sound settings or whatever. If you have the Sony headphones, you can. Mm-hmm. Anyways. So I had it. I was just immersed. It was loud. It was dark in my room. Like, no one was in here. And I was loving it. And I've been waiting on this game for a long time. So I'm playing, and I'm like, again, forget that I'm playing a game. I'm watching the movie, and then he gets his hand caught in that bear trap. And I was like, oh, freak. So like, I'm over here missing the QTE trying to, you know, anyways. So I do got a couple questions on how you handled things as far as that game goes. Did you push Jessica into the river in the beginning of the game?
I did.
You did.
I scared her, yeah.
You did scare her? Me too.
It's funny because the trophy you get is called Don't Scare Jessica. But you scare her, and it's pretty funny.
And then I made it to the end of the game, and everyone was alive. Which, again, when Jessica comes back into the picture, there's a handful of times where you think you lost somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping Emily died when the tower fell.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the trophies before I started, which usually when I'm excited about a game, contrary to popular belief, I don't go for trophies on my first playthrough. Now, if it's a garbage game or a game that's been referred to as not very good, I'll check the trophies out and I'll play accordingly.
Right.
When I'm excited about something, I usually don't check it out. I give them the first playthrough is just enjoying the game, and then after that I go back and get trophies. With this one, I was very curious if it even showed you the trophies, you know, because with Heavy Rain and stuff like that, like, I believe they were all hidden until you do whatever.
All these were hidden.
So I did check out the trophies online for this game. And I did see where there was, there were obviously trophies associated with who can live or die. And that was the most interesting part, is that anyone can live, anyone can die. So, anyways, with that being said, when you got into the cabin, okay, and the cabin's getting ready to explode, who'd you have go back and flip the thermostat? Or turn the light switch on? Whichever one it was that caused the actual explosion. I can't remember.
Sam.
So
yeah.
So she died?
She lived.
She lived? So who is it?
She runs and
somebody
flips.
Else was
she, yeah, spoiler,
held up by the Wendigo.
She, you can have her, there's a trophy for immediately running and flipping a switch, which I did.
That's what I did, yeah.
But at this point, it was Sam who I had to do it. Because Sam can't die till the very last, till that scene.
Gotcha.
So.
I had, who was the guy, who was Jessica's boyfriend? I don't remember his name.
Mike,
yeah, he was the one that got stuck in the house whenever.
But it's funny, because Mike, in the beginning of the game, I was like, I'm really going to hate this guy. And he ended up being my favorite character.
Yeah, he's like one of my favorite characters. The guy, so Emily was the one I wanted to die immediately. The other one that I couldn't stand was the dude in the letter jacket.
Matt,
yeah, he was such a boring character, a very wimpy character, and like, my first playthrough, I did everything I could to appease Emily.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time I started through it, I was like, screw this trick. I want her dead. So I tried to pick all the...
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't do was I didn't kill her whenever she got bit. Or, man, it wasn't her. It was the other chick. I don't even remember. I can't remember their names. When the one got bit by the Wendigo and you're in the radio tower, Emily... Yeah, I didn't kill her because I was like, I really want to. And when you don't, you get a trophy. I was like, ooh, thank God.
When you do, you get a trophy.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'll snap. When you're done with it, I'll.
Yeah. So, I mean,
that's a good game.
It is.
And that game brings on some great conversation because everyone's playthroughs are different, and it's so much fun to talk about the changes.
Yeah. And I do feel like the reviews online do not give the game justice. I'm not really into games like that. But it really drew me in. It's a great story. Like, it goes from everything I loved about the movie Scream to, like, everything I loved about the movie, what was it called? Fail.
Cabin in the Woods?
No.
Jason.
Where the chicks are in the cavern and...
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Abyss?
No,
Descent.
Yeah.
Might want to edit that part.
No,
but it's everything I loved about The Descent.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Gosh.
One more thing about the game. I loved it. It was like, okay, so you start the game off, it's a slasher game. Oh, wait, no, it's a monster game. Oh, wait, no, it's something supernatural. Cabin in the Woods. Maybe none of this is real. And then all of a sudden you find out it's all the above.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, my God. Dude, like, they didn't just...
Did you get the secret ending?
Oh, I don't think so.
With Josh. I don't want to spoil it then. I want you to find it.
I don't remember. I remember I had three people alive. I had Sam, the blonde guy, and Matt.
The girl that played Sam, by the way, played on Heroes. I don't know if you know
that. Yeah. Yeah, she's good. That game was great. I want more games like that. I'm so excited about Detroit.
And don't make him a real shooter.
Nah, you know what? That's going to be. We'll see. Well, no. I'm not going
to. No.
I think.
Stop it.
I think that's got potential. We'll see. If it's all about the pop scares in VR, which I'm not going to buy unless they put Resident Evil on there and make me buy it. But it has potential. I'm not going to crap on it until it gets bad reviews and I platinum it. So like I said, with going back to the Duck Dynasty thing, I didn't finish it. I jumped straight into Halo. My brother and I did the traditional Halo comes out. We play online together. We beat the first Halo together, second Halo together, third Halo together. You and I and the T-Bird beat Reach together. My brother and I eventually went through it on Legendary, I believe. I don't remember. That one was kind of right when I first started having kids, and it was hard to do anything. Halo 4, we started together, my brother and I, and didn't finish it. He ended up going and finishing it. Halo 5, we played through the entire thing together in one sitting. That tells you how short it is. What I was planning on doing was devoting a lot of time to go breaking that game down. But I want you to play it. I'll make that happen. I want you to play it so then we can, and maybe me, you, and Tanner, and maybe even Josh. I want us all to be together. Everyone have played it, and then we dive into it, no matter how many weeks it is after release.
Right.
Because I told some people that I was totally going to spoil the game, so I would announce it and go through it. I'm not going to do that this week, especially since it's just me and you. I do want to wait. There's some things that game does amazing and very, very great, and there's some things that game does not do well at all.
Yeah.
And I really want to talk about it with amongst other people who have played it. My brother's opinion on it was very, very different than mine. I didn't play 4, so I feel like not playing 4 hurt me because I didn't see the escalated love, intimacy relationship thing between Master Chief and Cortana. I mean, granted, we always expected it, but apparently Halo 4 really dove into that, which I'm going to go back and finish now because of the fact that I missed it.
Halo doesn't have a storyline.
See, I can't accept that because Halo is very much like Star Wars. It's got a lot of story. It's got a story so big that you have to read the novels and the comics and watch the movies.
Well, I mean, same can be said about anything. Yeah. Gears of War, from what I hear, the books are phenomenal and tell a lot of the lore that we don't see in the games. Because most people look at it and are like, "Oh, it's just a bro shooter." Well, it's very deep. Very gritty.
Yep.
And.
Well, from what I hear from the other reviews and the other podcasts I've listened to about Halo is that if you didn't read the Fall of Reach book and you don't know the lore, that nothing makes sense in this game. And I don't want to go any farther into it than that, because then you start spoiling things and they're not, unfortunately, there's not enough meat on the bone to spoil there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, I don't know, I felt like 5 was more of a prequel to what could be 6. I don't even think it was like played amazing. You talking about a game that just plays fun and handles good?
That's Halo. It should.
But it's way better than any Halo to date. It added things that obviously it matured with the times. But dude,
the aim down sight.
That, and it's got like a boost function. Like you can almost boost and dodge. Kind of building off some of the perks they put in the other Halo games.
Advanced Warfare.
It's better. It's you just kind of have to...
Makes sense.
It does. It makes a lot of sense. It's one of those things to where... Oh, okay.
They started adding that in Call of Duty. I'm like, I don't know if this makes sense.
Yeah.
People like it,
I don't know. I feel like right now we're just getting overwhelmed with jetpacks and boosters. And
it's competition.
Well, for a while there, everything was a military shooter from World War II. Now it's everything's a space shooter with jetpacks and butt thrusters and...
Butt thrusters.
Before too,
pelvic thrusters.
Speaking of butt thrusters, then you got Call of Duty Black Ops 3, which looks a freaking amazing. I've played the first 3 chapters, just totally digging it, loving every minute of it. And then I realized that you don't get chapter trophies or achievements from beating it on normal or recruit. In the past, beat on any difficulty, then you got to beat it on veteran.
What?
Yeah, you have to beat it because they added a new difficulty mode called realistic.
Oh, gosh.
So you have hardened, veteran, and realistic. So the trophies only unlock if you beat it on one of those three difficulties. But you don't have to beat it on realistic to get all the trophies. So, in other words, I started over, beat the first four chapters on hardened, and it's a little more difficult. It just kind of feels like normal. Yeah, like, I don't know. It feels like the bottom two difficulties are for entry-level players. The top three would be for more experienced players.
Right.
So, anyway, so I backed up, played the first four chapters, the first three over, and then beat the fourth one. It's good. And I hear tell that if you beat the campaign, you unlock a new version of the campaign where all the enemies are replaced with zombies.
That's interesting.
That's going to be cool. So Black Ops 3 is totally, it's on my radar right now. I'm playing it when I can. Again, going back to playing crappy games that that no one else will play, I ended my Gamefly membership this month. I went ahead and canceled it, and I'm going to take a break from playing the garbage games. I sent back Duck Dynasty and got in Godzilla, which Godzilla isn't bad either. It's not great. Like, it's all deserving of a 5 or a 6. Probably just a 5. It looks pretty good. It plays like a big clunky Godzilla game. You know, you go through these little parts of the cities, you beat up buildings, and then here comes a kaiju. You fight them, and then you go to the next chapter. And I beat the campaign. The campaign takes a total of 7 playthroughs, from what I've read, to actually beat every single chapter. Because you beat it level, and then you can choose, like, there's a branch off path. You can go to the next level, or you can go to a harder one.
Fight generators.
All you do is fight generators the entire time, and then a kaiju. It's like, destroy these generators. And this kaiju, and it's
Godzilla's attacking the generators.
Yes, over and over and over. Got a thing for generators.
It's so funny because you play Duck Dynasty and Godzilla in a week.
Yeah,
and I have very few game critics that I actually pay attention to, listen to. I read reviews from like IGN and Game Informer and stuff, but those guys, it's almost like those guys have a loyalty. To not saying they get paid, I'm not going that far. A lot of people are saying like IGN gets paid to look. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Even if they are, I mean, wouldn't you just to slap a 9 on Call of Duty? No. I've watched videos where they talk about the reasons why they give Call of Duty such high reviews. I mean, because it's a first person shooter that works. It's good. It's fun. It's addicting. People buy it. I mean, if it was really that bad, a lot of people wouldn't buy it. I mean, let's just be honest. I've watched the Angry Joe show. He's one of my favorite game critics because he doesn't really have like. I guess he don't have a loyalty to like, you know, he's not part of this big corporate business. He's like down to earth. You can relate to him as a game from gamer to gamer. And you watch his reviews, you know, and if a game's really bad, like, he's going to tell you, like, I don't understand why this game got such high praise, because here's all the problems wrong with it, you know. Now, if the game's really good, he'll say it's really good, and he'll give it a good rating. Like, I've seen, you know, a lot of people watch his videos expecting him to just crap on every game, and that's not the case. You know, because, like, Witcher 3, he gave a really good review. Max Payne 3, watched a review on that, he gave it a really good review. So there are games out there he reviews he really likes, but I think it's hilarious because I watched, it was actually last week, I was watching, going back and watching some of his old videos, some of these games he reviewed. He reviewed Godzilla because he's a huge Godzilla fan, and he was really excited about this game coming out. He said the game was just terrible. Like, the tank controls.
It is tank controls.
That's horrible.
It makes you feel like a big, clunky kaiju because you don't walk around with just the analog stick. You walk forward and backwards with it.
You have to use the...
But you use L and R to turn your body, which makes it... You know, and as dumb as that sounds, obviously that was created with a purpose. You have to go out of your way to map the controller to be that much more difficult to turn. So to me, it just seemed like, well, I'm a big stupid kaiju, and I got big stupid controllers to make me feel like a big stupid. You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna beat this big stupid generator up.
Yeah, you know, gotta get that generator. Gotta catch them all. And so it's, you know, I felt like, I mean, the game looked good. It played, it ran great. Like, it had no frame rate issues that I could tell from, you know, I'm not an expert on that, but like, when you play a
the
game.
The level design is just the water. It's a flat land of just water.
No, dude, it's a bunch of squares with lights. Actually, it didn't look bad at all. Like, you know, like.
No, oh, God damn. Stop it.
It really didn't. You didn't play it. You don't know.
I don't have to play it. I can see it with my eyes.
No, you saw. You heard someone else's opinion. And
I can look at it.
It really wasn't that bad. Like the game, it wasn't great. It looked like a well polished PS3 game
on the PS4. We're gonna have an intervention with you one day.
The thing is, like, okay, so like, yeah, I couldn't see people in the buildings, but the buildings looked fine. You can, I mean, I know graphics. I'm a graphics guy. Like, they didn't look bad. It was very smooth. It was
very block.
The month of October into November, I played five mediocre games.
What I was saying,
and enjoyed it, all of them.
I'm saying it's funny because I watched these reviews on these games that are really bad, and two of them were Duck Dynasty and Godzilla from the Angry Joe Show.
Yeah.
And you've played them both. And
but
you,
see, I'm not Angry Joe. I'm Happy Daryl, and Happy Daryl don't get mad at those games.
You sit there with the most grimace face I've seen, and it's like, Duck Dynasty was good.
Yeah, no, whatever, dude. I didn't. It was nothing like that. I enjoyed myself. I had a good time until I had to get in the stupid boat. You know what? You and Donnie from Trophy Horrors and all you freaking haters, y'all can suck it, because the bottom line is, trophy's a trophy. And which, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and segue us into a topic. Now, this is supposed to come later in the show. But before we go into the news, I got to get this off my chest. You and the T-Bird and Tricky and Donnie, y'all the time hating on my choice of trophies. So I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to answer it.
I don't think.
I'm going to ask the listeners. You don't have to answer it immediately. You guys can email us at rememberthelootatprovengamer.com. You guys can tweet us at rememberthelooton that Twitter. You guys can hit us up on Facebook, and you can give us your answer and your opinion. But I want to know, what makes a trophy whore? What makes an achievement whore? What is the definition? What is it? I even break it down a little dummified for you guys. What is a whore? Somebody who will lay down with anyone, anywhere, at any time. Correct?
No standards, yeah.
All right. So if I put the word trophy in front of this, that means I'll play any game, anytime, anywhere for them trophies. No standards. So to be a true trophy whore, you got to play Duck Dynasty. You got to play The Witcher. You got to play Godzilla and them Resident Evils.
But not every lay is going to be good.
It doesn't have to be good. A lay is a lay. Look, a toll is a toll, and a roll is a roll. And if we don't get no tolls, then we don't get no rolls. I made that up.
All I'm saying is there should be a – I don't know. Now, okay, we're talking about trophies right now. I'm talking about as a gamer wanting to play a good game. Because let's be honest, I'm not a trophy whore. I'm not. I have one platinum. It's in Bloodborne. And I worked very hard to get that platinum because I also really, really enjoyed the game. Now, if I had to suffer through Godzilla for 70 hours to get a platinum, I don't see myself doing that.
Well, that's
now there are some people who would. Those are trophy whores. There's a debate now going on about trophy chumps, trophy whores,
and what I'm going to introduce as a third possibility. The trophy elitist. And this also counts for you achievement hunters out there. A trophy, like my brother is the epitome of an achievement whore. He's an achievement hunter. That's what he does. He puts in a crappy game, he blazes through it and gets everything he can get. I do the same thing. Trophies and achievements. I swing both ways on those.
Hit it and quit it.
And see what I'm saying? And so, honestly, there's a debate coming. There's a Bill of Rights being drafted. But it really ends with this. A true trophy whore, by definition, not by opinion, is somebody who will play anything, anytime, anywhere, get them trophies by any means necessary. And like you said, not every trophy is going to be a good trophy. Not every game is going to be a good game. But it ain't about that. It ain't about the quality. No. It's about the quantity. I have a handful of trophies. I got a handful of platinums. I got a handful of achievements, somewhere around 66,000. Somewhere around 2,600 trophies. You know what I'm saying? And what the thing is, I'll go play a great game. I'm in the quest right now to platinum the Resident Evil franchise.
You can't sit there with... I'm not calling anybody out. But you can't sit there with 70 platinums on your belt, 70 some odd platinums, and you're telling me that you played 70 AAA 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 games.
Well, ain't about those. That. See, it's about the experience, about the fun you had in the moment.
Yeah, well, somewhere down that in that list, there are not so good games that you played to get those trophies.
Well, here's what we got. So we got like your opinion on games. You got my opinion on games. You got, and we're gonna have my brother on the show because he brings a strong opinion and a very valid argument every time. Like he likes things he likes, and
he's biased.
Can back it up. Well, we're also called biased.
Well, yeah,
we're a multi-platform podcast that tends to swing hard on the PlayStation side.
I don't just play PlayStation. I play Super Nintendo.
Either way, so we're going to have my brother on here. But the bottom line is this. I use him as an example because he is the contrast when it comes to a lot of the things that I'm into. I'm into PlayStation. He's into Xbox. I'm into trophies. He's into achievements. You know what I'm saying? And so we go back and forth, and we can dig up some good conversation.
Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
There you go. And so, but the bottom line is this. We all got different opinions. And what I think is a great name is not necessarily what you think is a great name. It's not necessarily what Cray thinks is a great name. And it's not necessarily what Angry Joe thinks is a great game. I don't think that Duck Dynasty, Hannah Montana, or Godzilla are great games. But I do think that The Green Lantern and Onichanbara, or Onechanbara, however you say it, those were good games. So, boom, facial suck it. That's all I got. So, Frosty, Black Friday's coming up soon. You going to do any shopping?
Oh, yeah.
Going to buy any games?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I got this idea. You know, ProvenGamer.com is sponsored by Amazon.
Mm.
They pay the bills for Trophy Horse, PG Spoilers, and the brand new hot and fresh Remember the Loot podcast. Did you know that if you go to ProvenGamer.com, click on the Amazon links, and do all of the shopping you're already going to do, that Amazon will kick some money back to the site to help take care of all these costs?
Sounds good to me.
So for all you gamers out there that are going to be doing some Black Friday shopping through Amazon, you know you're going to do it anyways. Let them help us help you.
Thank you. And on that note, we go to a segment we like to call News for Noobs. The segment is brought to you by ProvenGamer.com. Go check them out. Support them. In doing so, you'll be supporting us, www.ProvenGamer.com. Activision has announced Call of Duty Black Ops 3 pulled in $550 million in its first 3 days on sale, making it the biggest entertainment launch of 2015. Additionally, the publisher also announced that Call of Duty Black Ops 3 has the highest player engagement of any entry in the franchise, with more hours per player racked up so far than with any other COD title.
That's very, very awesome. And it's a great game. From what I've played, like I said earlier, just the few hours that I've put into it, I see many, many more coming. And this might be a contender for favorite Call of Duty of all time, with the current champion being Call of Duty Ghost.
Black Ops is a good title, man. It's a good series. I hope they continue it. Definitely got a different feel. That makes sense. So the Xbox One has this neat little thing where you buy Fallout 4, and you get a code for Fallout 3.
I noticed that.
But it comes with a price. There's actually an expiration date for Fallout 3 code expires February 8th, 2016. So if you have the code, go ahead. Don't delay. Go ahead and put it in and get that junk downloaded. You don't want to miss out on that. Kinect gestures won't be making the jump to the new Xbox experience. Microsoft's Mike Ybarra, I guess that's how you say it.
Sounds about right.
Explain the reasoning as to why the gestures won't be present when the new Xbox UI launches. With gestures, the reality was the usage was very, very low, says Ybarra. So for now, we've cut that from the new Xbox One experience. So when we launch the 12th, they won't be in the product. That was yesterday, correct?
Yes.
The new UI was yesterday, yeah. Ybarra also stated that they will be monitoring player feedback, and there's a possibility it will make a return. Hashtag, please don't.
That translates into abandoned ship. The Kinect was a bad idea.
Yeah.
Gestures are a bad idea. Even from people who use the Kinect, I've heard that gestures, if you were to get frustrated, throw your hands in the air, the Kinect would be like, what are you trying to say? Or what are you trying to do? So, you know, obviously the Kinect is a bad idea in general. Abandon ship. It's a trap. Get away from it. But the new Xbox experience, holy crap. It's really good. It's fast. It is smooth. It brings back, if you double tap the jewel button, the big X, it gives you your guide layout, your menu layout, like you had in the 360. It's a little bit different, but obviously everything has changed with time. I cannot explain how much faster the dashboard is.
360 was a perfect example. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yes, and they made small iterations. I really liked the blade system on the 360 way better than the final tiles or whatever they had. But the 360, it always worked well.
Yeah.
Everything on the 360 worked well.
Except for the Red Ring of Death.
Well, I was about to say, with the exception of the
Exception of them planting that in your Xbox, make you buy a new Xbox.
Hashtag
conspiracy theory.
When my Resident Evil Collector's Edition Xbox got the Red Ring of Death, that was the beginning of the end for me with the 360. But everything worked. You know what I'm saying? The party chat worked. The achievements worked. Like checking all these things via the jewel button, the guide button, the middle button. I would have to say, speed-wise, it is very comparable to the PS4 now. I do not have a full hard drive yet, so I'm curious to see how much faster it's going to go or slower. Well, the biggest problem that the last dashboard had was just how slow it ran in general, how often it crashed, and if your hard drive was full, which mine usually is, anything over 80% made the apps and use and doing stuff and moving in between menus near impossible. I'm at about 60 or 70% this morning after I download all the Gears titles. Backwards compatibility launched with the new dashboard, so I got all my Gears titles back compat. You know, that first bunch they released, I'm very excited about that. Gears of War 3. I really wish that I liked the Xbox controller enough to want to spend more time with it. But that's just personal preference. But so far, man, the dashboard is sick. It's smooth, and it really, really changes the... When they say new Xbox One experience, that's not just marketing speak. That's not some stupid catchphrase. Like, from... Dude, it really is a new experience. It really does change... I feel like it changes it dramatically. Like it's when it automatically downloaded. I got home last night. I didn't turn it on. I was like, I'll check it in the morning. Got up first thing this morning and played with it for a while. And man, it is smooth. Very, very, very impressed.
Cool deal. Might actually persuade me into buying an Xbox.
You know, if you were going to buy one this Black Friday, the Xbox One bundles are $299 with games. I saw where Walmart, Target, Best Buy, and GameStop all are selling them for $299 plus games. Some of them you buy the Gears of War bundle and you get an extra game or an extra controller or, in most cases, like store credit, the equivalency of a game.
That's the best way to do it, man.
It's really, really sweet. So for you, knowing that your love and passion for Gears of War... You know, if you were to decide to do that, I would recommend going to the provengamer.com website, clicking on the Amazon links, and buying your Xbox One bundle through there this Black Friday, and it'll support the show.
Sounds good.
It's that simple, ladies and gentlemen. That's how you do it.
So go to www.provengamer.com. Support them, and you'll be supporting us. Star Wars, The Force Awakens director, J.J. Abrams, or Jar Jar Abrams, is teaming up with Cher, the creators of Infinity Blade and Shadow Complex.
Which, Cher? Like, do you believe in life after love?
Yeah. Wait, what? Sorry. That's how it goes.
That song gets stuck in my head a lot.
Teaming up with Cher, the creators of Infinity Blade and Shadow Complex, which Shadow Complex was awesome.
Yes, 360. Shout out to all the Xbox gamers.
Shout out to Cliffy B. Please come back. And Bad Robot Productions to make Spy Jinx, a new game which blends action strategy, world building, and RPG character development. And every time I hear the words action, world building, and RPG character development in the same sentence, I think of ActRaiser. Please bring that game back. I'm talking to you, Square Enix. UFC 2 coming spring of 2016. I never got a chance to play the first one. Well, I lied. I played the demo. I played the demo a lot, and I really enjoyed it.
So, you mastered the demo?
Yeah.
If it was a beta, you would have mastered the beta?
I would have mastered it.
Just curious.
Speaking of mastering the beta.
Yeah.
This guy gets arrested for masturbating in front of a PlayStation 4 display. He took our phrase, mastering the beta, way
too far. He listened to our first episode, first of the lost episodes, and decided he would go master the beta in public.
You know, I when I originally read the headline for that, I did not read the article.
Really?
I mean, well, like, it just stops right there. You read the headline, and, you know, which a lot of people are guilty of, just reading the headline for something and not reading the article and then judging it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I've seen it 100 times. Like, people will read something and get irate, and it's like, well, wait, did you read the article? Because they explained all this in the article. I read that, and then was literally like, okay, I'm done here. I understand. I feel your pain. Because I do it too.
So it happened in the UK. Not exactly sure what store. I actually have the article pulled up. But basically, the guy walks up in front of the PlayStation 4 display, gets a little excited, and just goes to town. And I'm not exactly sure why. But it says a couple of people walked up to him and told him to stop. And so he did. And he ran out.
But please stop.
The best part about this story was
probably saw a promo for No Man's Sky.
The best part of the story wasn't that some pervert decided to expose himself in public in front of a PlayStation 4 kiosk. It was the comments underneath, and my favorite one was about 7 or 8 comments down. It said, well, there's an Xbox display beside it. And then someone immediately commented, yeah, the Nintendo Wii still don't get no love. Like, or the Wii U, excuse me. The Nintendo Wii U still don't get no love. Because funny. I believe in the screenshot, I mean, it's kind of blurry and pixelated, but it looks like there's no Wii stuff around. You know, I don't see any Wii stuff around, so I just think it's hilarious.
Funny because it's true.
Nintendo Wii fans are few and far between, and even the pervs in public don't want nothing to do with that Wii U.
So on that note, we go to a segment we like to call Fapping It to the Four.
This section, we spend praising PlayStation 4 and how much we are pleased and pleasured by it. What's funny is somebody commented like a little farther down, somebody said, I do the same thing all the time in front of my PlayStation camera.
Oh, no. Please don't Twitch stream that.
And then you had a couple of Kinect guys in there. Like, one person said, masturbate in front of a PlayStation 4. Nobody bats an eye. And it said, but do it in front of your Kinect. Everybody loses
their
mind.
Yeah. Okay, moving on.
I might have said that backwards, but either way.
How do you move on from that? How do we continue? How do I live without you?
That's what he was. Just the two of us.
We are. All right, Daryl, we got to be more professional.
That's right.
Be more professional.
Being professional here.
Yep. Activision buys Candy Crush for $5.9 billion.
The reason why I wanted to bring this up is not because I think that's a good purchase. I'm not an Activision praiser, nor do I play Candy Crush or any mobile games. The reason why I wanted to bring this up and why I put this in our news section is because they paid $5.9 billion for a company that makes somewhere around $500 million a year or something like that in profits. I mean, the valuation one is crazy. I read somewhere that it would take like 12 years for them to make their money back based off of if nothing changed in that market. But that's not important. That's not near as important as the fact that Disney bought Star Wars for $4 billion. EA bought PopCap, which makes the Plants vs. Zombie games and Peggle. I believe EA bought PopCap for somewhere around $2.9 billion, and they're making their money back hand over fist. What blows my mind is that this company got bought by Activision for more than Star Wars was sold for. So Candy Crush,
George Lucas is desperate.
So basically what you're saying is by buying this, going through with this, that Candy Crush is worth more than Star Wars. And I don't really care to go any farther. I just want to kind of put that out there on the internet and see what the fans think.
I'm sure there's a couple people I can think of right now.
I'm sure some people laid down on their lightsabers after hearing that one.
First Disney, now Candy Crush. Yeah, it's happening. So Extra Life was a huge success. Extra Life is this cool little thing where gamers pledge to play or stream video games for 24 hours straight. I'm pretty sure they have to take breaks in between.
They got to pee every now and again.
Yeah, in a sock or a cup. No, it's not that bad. But they pledge to stream video games for 24 hours and ask people to donate money to Extra Life website. Doing so, all proceeds go to Children's Hospital. It's really cool. I didn't even know about it. I've never knew this thing existed. I will be signing up for it next year. But to date, Extra Life has raised over $20 million.
Yep.
That's very, very awesome. Hats off to all you gamers out there that persevered and endured the hardship of the 24 hours of playing video games. So,
you know, people might take that kind of lightly because they think, oh, you're just playing video games. But sitting up and doing anything for 24 hours straight is difficult. And I've pulled multiple 24 hours existing, whether it be work, games, shows. Back when we used to tour, you know, we'd be up all day long doing whatever, playing, you know, all evening and then driving all night. So 24 hours of anything is tough. So, yeah, hats off to all you guys who did that and, you know, raised that money. That's the biggest thing. It's all about the kids.
Yeah.
I got one more piece of news that I wanted to add, and it'll just more so be, what are your thoughts? A quote was flying around the internet. There was an interview from somebody at Crystal Dynamics that said that a Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver game, something in that universe.
Take my money.
Exactly. They said, well, it's a 50-50 shot. We got people that want to make those games. Can you imagine a Legacy of Kain, a Soul Reaver, anything by today's standards? Holy crap.
Okay, first of all, release the collection.
With trophies.
Show the world the Blood Omen Legacy of Kain.
Oh my gosh.
There's a lot of people that haven't even played that game.
God, that was good.
Ve Victus! show them that game. Release the collection. So even with the Soul Reavers. I think it was Defiance?
Yes.
That was so good.
Where
that
you could be Kain and...
Yeah.
What's that dude's name? Eli?
Raziel,
yeah.
That series just died out.
Which is a shame. It was so good.
Please bring that back. So, that would be amazing.
My first experience with that ever was my cousin.
Whatever, Trevor.
Hey, let me borrow Blood Omen. Holy crap. That was it for me. And then my brother and I played Soul Reaver and Defiance. Like, there was no tomorrow. Like, we just killed those games. Love it. I would freaking just throw my money at them right now. As a matter of fact, they just had a little bit of a sale where one of the Legacy of Kain games was on sale on the PSN. And I don't remember if I bought it or not. I don't know if I've already got it. If I do, it's on my Vita. Man, those are good games.
Yeah, they were. Super Mega Rapid Fire Topics.
Yeah. So this next segment is brought to you by Fight Stick Guy. Go over to Facebook.com and check out Fight Stick Guy for custom, handcrafted, freaking awesome fight sticks. Tell them the Loot Crew sent you. This segment is called Super Mega Rapid Fire Topics. And for those of you PlayStation 1, Game Shark, Resident Evil 2 enthusiasts, and that really narrows it down to a very rare breed of gamer.
About 12 people.
There's four. Super Mega Rapid Fire was a Game Shark code that you could use on Resident Evil 2 to shoot a mile a minute. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go over some topics, quick, fast, and in a hurry. Super Mega Rapid Fire Topics. I got an email, an anonymous email, that asked us this question. With streaming becoming more and more popular via Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Crackle, and the games media moving in that direction with PS Now, Gamefly just partnered up with Amazon, and through the Fire TV you can stream games. Apple TV is streaming games. They asked, how do we feel about streaming games? Now, you and I have both experienced PlayStation Now in its earlier stages.
Right.
That last month or a few weeks ago, they just had a huge dump of 105 more titles. 21 of them were Capcom games. We're both, obviously, huge Capcom fans. We've been rooted in their franchises since we first became gamers. I mean, you as Street Fighters being you're a huge Street Fighter fan. Right. I'm a huge Resident Evil fan. We both like Dead Rising. We both like Devil May Cry. I really enjoyed the Lost Planet games. I mean, like, Capcom puts out, you know, games that I enjoy. So I'm going to let you go first. How do you feel about streaming services for games? Do you think they'll last? Do you think they are the future? Do you enjoy them?
Well, to be honest, I am a person that is 100% for ownership. Like, being able to own games, being able to go to the store, buy a game, put it on my shelf and say, you look nice on my shelf.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, I own every season of Dragon Ball Z and the orange box sets. And, I mean, those things are about 2.5 inches thick each. And, like, they take up an entire shelf. I have to, like, put them in the back, like, and kind of hide them because, you know, they're such an eyesore, which ain't a bad thing. I do like the ability to, you know, if something happens to my PlayStation, I have the disc if I were to buy another PlayStation, you know. Granted, I'm sure you could recover those things, yeah. You know. It's not a big deal. I don't know, man. I guess I'm in a minority here because there are a lot of people now that love the idea of just having everything digital. T-Bird's one of them.
Yeah, I don't at all.
Yeah, I enjoy having it. I enjoy the thrill of going out and buying it and have the case. I just pre-ordered Street Fighter V Special Edition. Comes with a steelbook and a Ryu statue.
Ooh, say it again.
Comes with a steelbook.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to that and seeing that on my shelf. I don't know, man. It's a good feeling whenever I get up to pick up my controller to play and I look down and I see that beautiful Witcher 3 case staring me in the face like, play me, Frosty, play me. So,
I mean, you can look around and see my physical collection. I've got shelves full of PlayStation games, shelves full of PlayStation 4, Vita, Xbox One, Xbox 360. I have my steelbook collection, which is somewhere around 21 steelbooks. I got one in the mail right now. Like, it'll be here by the 18th. Be the grand master of my collection. But being dependent on the internet to play the games, streaming the games, and not physically owning them, it reminds me of when the Xbox 360 first kind of introduced digital titles to me. Now, I'm not a PC gamer. Haven't been for years and years and years. Never owned a PC good enough to really get into its, you know, games. I wasn't familiar with Steam. So when the Xbox 360 started introducing some of these, you know, digital titles, I bought Duke Nukem 3D and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the 1989 arcade version or whatever. Yeah. I bought the games digitally when I didn't have internet, and at the time I kind of lived out in the boonies a little bit. When I didn't have internet, or the internet signal wasn't good in the part of the house I was using when I was using the Wi-Fi, because I bought the little adapter, I couldn't access the games. So I bought something that I couldn't use, and it frustrated me. Okay, now it's gotten even worse because the digital marketplace is so big. When you buy digital titles, you know, you can't always access them because they can't verify. Going back to what you were saying about the Xbox One when it first initialed, it was talking about 24-hour check-ins, you know what I'm saying? If you are not playing, you know, with the internet connection, like we used to travel all the time. How many hotels could you actually get on the internet when we would play our Xboxes?
Zero.
When we would travel and play shows and we'd bring our Xboxes and all that stuff, you know, you could never get online. Mm. You know, like it doesn't matter. You know, we have free Wi-Fi. It doesn't matter. It sucks. You know, and the Xboxes will never be able to play on there. My PlayStations couldn't play when I went to Connecticut not too long ago. Like, I tried to get online, and the functionality doesn't work. So what happens is the digital content on some of these consoles, because obviously I could access my PlayStation digital content, but I couldn't access some of the 360 digital content because there wasn't, I couldn't get on there to verify the license. Now, the new consoles are even worse, and I don't like having to have that service available to use things that I've bought. So, obviously, that's not the same as streaming, but it always brings me back to that. I get really weary of things whenever I have to depend on the internet, because the internet has proven, since its inception, to not always be there for us.
Right.
You know, we don't live in New York or California and these huge cities where it seems like their internet infrastructure is better and more secure. And these places, these utopias that I hear about have this crazy lightning fast internet that's like always available. Dude, the junk is always broke here, no matter what part of town you live on. And if you live in the woods, it's even worse. If you use satellite internet, my God, you might as well not have it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know. I like streaming games. I like PS Now. I use it. I have used it. I enjoy it. I played a few games on there. Got tons of trophies on there. But as far as that being my go-to, the future, I don't know, man. I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready to depend on. Because what essentially breaks down to is I got to buy my $400 console. I got to pay my $75 internet bill. I got to pay my $50 a year PlayStation Plus. And then I got to pay my subscription to whatever streaming I'm using.
Yeah.
And granted, that changes based on the platform, but I got to pay. How about I just buy my game, I play my game, and I just leave it be?
Right, exactly. Topic number two, our pick for Game of the Year this year. Now, granted, I know Star Wars Battlefront isn't out yet. Tomb Raider and Fallout 4 just came out. People are still playing those games. But I wanted to get your thoughts on what you think Game of the Year is this year. I have a couple. I will be writing up an article to post on provengamer.com. Eventually, because I have a few that I have personally played and I think are contenders for Game of the Year. I'm not gonna base what I think Game of the Year would be on, you know, reviews or what other people's opinions are of a game I haven't played. Like, I'm not gonna go and read up, you know, people's thoughts on Fallout 4, whether they're disappointed or they just think it's the greatest thing ever, and say, well, the Game of the Year. Because what we saw a recurring trend where people were saying Fallout 4 was a Game of the Year contender and wasn't even out. Like, Metal Gear Solid 5 dropped. People were playing Metal Gear Solid 5. People were saying it's Game of the Year. And then you had people saying, well, Fallout 4 is right around the corner. Well, you don't know if it's going to be Game of the Year because it's not out yet. You know, give it time. I have a few on my list. I would have to say Bloodborne is a contender. It's lengthy, it's gorgeous, it really grips you. If you have friends that you play with or friends that play the game, the experiences that you have and the stories you can share, you know, are always interesting, always engaging. The boss battles are phenomenal, the combat's phenomenal. So I think it's definitely a contender for Game of the Year. Next, Rocket League. I have seen a few people actually say it's game of the year, and you know, a lot of people are scratching their heads like, well, how can you say Rocket League? Well, it is a – just by the masses and the way you hear people talk about it, people love this game. It's fun. It just works, you know. Like you get online, you say, hey, let's play some Rocket League, and it's soccer and it's cars, and it just mixes so well. You wouldn't think, you know, you think it would just be irritating to play, having to control your car and on the field and try to play soccer with a vehicle, but it just works so well, and so many people have bought into this game. You know, like I was one of them. I'm not a soccer fan whatsoever. I got Rocket League when it was actually available free for download on the PlayStation Network. That was another thing too. Like it was released. Was it released all around free?
It was a PS Plus game, so it was free for PS Plus members for a month, and PC gamers paid for it, and that's the only two platforms it's on. So.
Well, I mean, even if you paid for it, I mean, this game is just awesome. I mean, you can customize your vehicle, you can play tournaments. The trophies were really fun to get. Me and you actually played some together, got some of the trophies.
That's a great game.
But yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be this huge AAA title to be Game of the Year. It just has to be a game. And it has to be a year.
And it has to be fun.
It has to be fun, yeah. I mean, and really, if you put it up on a chart with Bloodborne and other AAA titles, don't be surprised if you had a lot of people voting Rocket League as a game of the year, because it's a good game. But my personal game of the year, for all the games I played this year, would have to be The Witcher. I mean, I'm not finished with it. I talk about it a lot, but it's... And I think one of the main reasons why is because of CD Projekt. To be such a small developer and to put so much detail and so much time into this game to make it work and to make it just so engaging. And it's a beautiful game, man. It really is. And I hope that you have a chance to sit down and play it and enjoy it as much as I have. It's a long game, so prepare for some sitting down. It's long. But it's great. I mean, I've talked about it 100 times, but really don't want to elaborate too much on it until I finish the game and I can give my final thoughts on the game. So, what do you think, man? What do you think's Game of the Year this year so far?
You know, Game of the Years are always hard for me because I might buy the titles that come out, but I don't always play or finish them when they come out. I'm the world's worst at getting a new game and then playing an old one. So the game of the year for me, out of everything I played, now I played some Bloodborne. I put a couple hours in it. It doesn't have a pulse. I can't. You see day in, day out what I got to go through here to play anything. I can't play that game. Like,
it doesn't
long.
Have a pause, but there are areas you could stand and not get hit. Hunter's Dream. You can go to Hunter's Dream.
My point is, the game is difficult, it's long, and it's not set up for somebody like me who has to get up every 2 or 3 minutes to go tend to a screaming kid or youngin' or whatever, or I just got to wait till everybody goes to bed, which is generally what I do. Anyways, but then you see how difficult it is for me to get time even at night. You know, so big games always suffer for me, because they're big, and I don't have time. Hence why I play all these small, crappy games. You know, it's like, oh, wow, I can knock this out in a couple hours? Yes, sir. I loved The Order. It was the perfect length. I really enjoyed Halo. Halo was short, but I really enjoyed it. You know, like I need short games. Like, used to be a thing I complained about. Now I'm thankful for it. I've been saying all year long, or since it came out, that... since August, that Until Dawn is my game of the year. Rocket League is really good. I really enjoyed that game. Out of everything that came out this year that I bought and played and really spent some time on, I thought Metal Gear was going to be my game of the year. I've got 8 or 10 hours into Metal Gear. Haven't played it in a while. And it's one of those games that I find myself being so overwhelmed because it's so big, it's so long, and the side missions are... you know, they're repetitive in the sense that you go to the same locations, you do virtually the same stuff. Now, granted, the way you do it can be different every single time. And that's what I love about it. The bottom line is that game is huge. And for me, it is impossible. I just can't. I don't have time. I will more than likely never finish Metal Gear 5. I still haven't finished it. I didn't finish Grand Theft Auto 5. Didn't finish Grand Theft Auto 4. I don't usually finish big games because I don't have the time. And when I do have the time, it's like, you know, I get games all the time. I buy games all the time. You know what I'm saying? I need those shorter, you know, easier experiences. I'm not far enough into Call of Duty Black Ops 3 to say whether or not that's my pick. But I think that ultimately, as far as experience goes, as far as like how I felt playing the game, how much fun I had, I think Until Dawn is my killer app.
Yeah, I mean, and ultimately that's what will, you know, be the deciding factor in your vote is how much did you enjoy it, you know.
I started The Witcher. I've got a couple hours into The Witcher, but the problem is I get a couple hours, I'll use that couple hours, and then I'll sit back and go.
But you can save anywhere, anytime.
Yeah, yeah, and you can pause. You can pause that game.
Yeah,
and that those are huge for me.
I start playing a big game, and I get into it real heavy, and I'm enjoying it. But then another game will come out, and I want to play that game, and it's, you know, it's hard for me to choose then, you know, because like I bought The Witcher at the same time I bought Metro 1 and 2, like 18
Redux.
Bucks.
Yeah, God, those are good games too.
They are. They're really good.
But they're really long. Like.
It's very and they're very they're unopened like 20 for
hour,
me.
20-hour long games.
Yeah. Whatever. I mean, they're sitting there now collecting dust because I've been playing The Witcher, you know. Granted, I'm beat Until Dawn. I'm trying to get the Platinum. Once I'm done with that, I think I'm going to use that Metro as maybe my break game. Because I think that's what really helps. That's what helped me having another game I go to take a break from Witcher.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I work second shift, so I have all morning. I can play games, and on those days I fancy neglecting. You know, yard duties, like raking. I really need to rake my yard, but instead I'll play The Witcher. But there's those times where I get home from work and I'm, you know, a little tired, or it's the weekend or something. And I just want to chill, Netflix and chill. Instead of popping in The Witcher, I'll maybe play, you know, another game for about an hour or two, put a little bit of time to it, you know. And that might help you, you know what I'm saying? Maybe have those games that you could play, that you could pause when you need to, and then have that one game that you say, okay, I'm going to tackle this for a few hours tonight while the kids are asleep. That might help you, you know. Have two games to say, okay, I'm going to dedicate it. My life.
It's going to get a little weird.
Two games.
Two dragons.
So yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I do to myself, you know. Like I pledge that, okay, I'm not gonna buy another game. I'm not gonna pre-order a special edition of Street Fighter 5 before I beat The Witcher. No, but that totally happened today.
See, I'm the
so
opposite.
Technically, I have till middle of February to beat The Witcher.
See, I'm the opposite. I'll go and buy games on deal. I'll buy the PSN sales. I'll freaking go get games. And then go, holy crap, I've got so many games, I'm overwhelmed. What am I going to play? Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
That's
what Trophy Horse do, man.
In a nutshell. All right, so last couple topics. I'm just going to breeze through like super fast. We're running out of time. Black Ops 3, I already said, was great. Fallout, haven't played. Tanner's going to give us the lowdown on that next week, the T-Bird. Again, Fallout too big. I gave my Fallout experience before on a previous podcast. Too big, don't enjoy what I did play of them. Then Tomb Raider, none of us have played. Not a one of us, because all these other monster games decided they were going to drop on top of Tomb Raider. And unfortunately, Tomb Raider will have to wait until it comes out on PlayStation, because that's when I'll get to it.
Well, I didn't play Square Enix's Tomb Raider until the Definitive Edition.
I forgot that you relate to coming to that one.
It
that's
was
a great game.
So good. And I was really, really, really looking forward to this new one. Well, it'll have to wait till next year because I don't have an Xbox One.
Yeah, well, I'm. I just there's so many games now. Like, even if I, I technically I have Fallout, which I will more than likely never play. I haven't finished The Witcher. Metal Gear is the game that I've been going back to piece by piece. That's the big one. I said this to somebody yesterday at work when they're asking me about these big games and stuff because they just bought a PS4 and got a bunch of games. And I said, well, this year was so there's so many big games. You had The Witcher, you had Batman, you had Fallout, you have Metal Gear. You know what I'm saying?
Bloodborne was a pretty big game.
Yeah, Bloodborne too. And you had all these huge games, you know? And it's like, I can't touch. I had to pick one.
I honestly don't think Bloodborne is as big as, like, once you beat it the first time and you know where you're going and you know what it takes to beat certain bosses, I think you could run through the game in a decent time. I think where most of the time comes from is, one, the Chalice Dungeons.
And dying.
If you want to get the trophy. And dying. Having to replay certain areas.
And I said this on one of our Lost episodes, and I'll go ahead and drop it this now. It's kind of my final... This is where I made my peace with Bloodborne. You know what I'm saying? I put the game in when I actually had a stretch of a couple hours. I spent almost 2 hours in one sitting, which is freaking crazy that I got that. I don't get usually chunks like that. Unless I'm staying up all night. And so I freaking got a couple hours. I put it in there. I played. I told you I beat the first six guys, bare knuckles. Couldn't even find a weapon because I went to the dream level. And then the first thing I clicked on was a tombstone or something that sent me right back into the game. So I didn't get to explore it because I thought I was exploring. I didn't realize that you could walk around and find weapons. So after an hour and a half, I killed six people barehanded. Only died a couple times, but I'm like, this is ridiculous. Where are the freaking weapons? I text you. You told me, oh, I get my weapons. I come back, and then for the next, whatever, I come back to the game later, put another hour or so into it, or however it panned out, and I got like 6,000 or 5,000 blood echoes. I killed all the people in that opening section. I killed that really big dude in the corner that by the gate. And I spent all this time doing that stuff. I did die a few times because I paused the game, or so I thought it was paused, and I walked away and came back, and I was dead. But it was all said and done. I lost all my blood echoes and then died and couldn't get to my blood echoes. So I literally wasted the two or three, however long I ended up playing.
Dude, in the beginning of the game, 5,000 blood echoes would have leveled you up so much.
But and the thing is, like it literally just erased all my progress because at that point I started over, and I'm like, what is the, like... I cannot play a game like this. Could I? And this, I know this sounds dumb, but if I could have paused it and walked away and came back and not been dead, that might have changed my opinion on the game. Or if, maybe, I don't know, maybe if the game wasn't so gosh darn hard. Because it's tough. It's a difficult game, especially I've never played. I played Demon's Souls. I owned Demon's Souls. I hated it. I got the Dark Souls 2 Special Edition Steelbook over there. Never put it in. I bought it because it had a cool Steelbook.
It does have a cool
stuff. I bought it because it was a cool special edition, and I wanted to get into it. But having really no build up or bear, no previous Souls interest or experience, and then going into that game, it looked great, it sounded amazing, and it played well. It was right up my alley as far as a horror third person mm-hmm. action adventure horror game. It had everything I wanted except for the things that I needed.
And maybe that's something work out in the future,
Maybe one day. I haven't abandoned it, but for right now, I can't touch that. Can't touch this.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I'll get back to it one day. I will buy it, and I want the Steelbook version, which I actually saw one the other day at GameStop. I almost got it, but I didn't. So, that being said, we're gonna go ahead and shut her down. This is our show for the week. This is a nice condensed hour and a half version. For all the haters out there that don't like the 2 hour versions,
we're gonna try and keep them. Down to an hour.
Yeah, hour and a half. No promises.
Yeah.
Because you never know. Next week might be 3 hours.
Yeah.
We might just say suck it. So, anyways, I am Resident Daryl at Twitter, on Xbox, on PSN. This is MGS Frosty? MGS underscore?
MGS Daniel. Underscore Daniel 25, which hopefully, eventually, that'll change.
Ah, that's right, because hopefully you'll be able to change your PSN name.
Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at Metal Gear Frosty.
You could follow Tanner or the T-Bird. He's not here. Josh is doing the anniversary thing. Next week, we're going to have a jam-packed show. Lots of cool stuff. Lots of impressions. One of these days, we'll actually get to do our topics, our Nerdy 30, our random reviews, and all the fun stuff. Some of that stuff will trickle its way out onto YouTube and get guaranteed or given, whichever word I'm trying to say. The holidays are here. All the games are here. We're all slammed and busy. Hopefully by the first of the year, all of our YouTube stuff will start getting getting live, getting going, getting geared up. We'll be streaming, dual streaming.
We'll be jamming.
We won't be crossing the streams.
Mm-mm.
With that being said, thanks for all who listened. Check us out. Remember the Loot on Twitter. If you want to write into the show, email us, ask us questions, or send us money. Remember the Loot at provengamer.com. Next week, we're going to have a lot of listener email that we're going to go over. We didn't go over as much this time. We've got a lot of cool questions to answer and a lot of cool opinions to give. Plus, the T-Bird will not be sick with radiation poison, and he'll be able to tell us what he thinks about Fallout because he is immersed in the gunk. This week's song comes from a group called Surrender the Ghost. A handful of the old Ninja Loot guys got together, wrote some songs, played some shows that sound nice. And this song was on our lost episodes, but since we've made it to the big time and we're on Twitter, we're going to go ahead and bring back Furious George. So if you have not heard it, check it out. These guys are on SoundCloud, they're on Facebook, they're on Twitter, they're on Snapchat and Omegle and all the weird places that you can find washed out musicians.
Omegle?